All right, sir, we're going to get started here.
Okay.
Are you comfortable?
Yeah, I think so.
All right, now don't be nervous. Yeah. A colonoscopy is a very simple procedure.
Yeah.
I've done a million of them, nothing to worry about.
Okay.
All right, let's get started.
All right.
And again, I just need you to relax.
I'm trying, doctor.
It says in my notes here, your name is... your name is Harold?
No, it's Howard.
Oh,
Howard.
I'm sorry. Can't read my own writing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Howard.
Howard. Let's get started with the colonoscopy now.
Sure. Okay.
You're going to feel a little pressure.
Howard's End.
Oh.
Will not be presented at this time.
Anybody ever call you Howie?
So that we can bring you the following special podcast.
You look like you've been getting a little sunshine, Howard.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt our program of dance music to bring you a special bulletin from the Intercontinental Radio News.
It's time for Peculiar Podcast, hosted by Pat Cashman.
Gorgeous to look at.
And Lisa Foster.
She's dangerous.
See, you're on.
Ready or not, it's Pat and Lisa.
Can you dig it?
Yeah, I can dig it, yeah.
It's love and time.
Well, howdy do. It's good to finally be back.
Gosh, you know, I was worried about you. I hadn't heard from you in about 12 years, and I was like, what happened to Pat? Where is he?
I was kind of wandering out there in the desert for a long time.
You're back.
Hey, I was going to mention this. One of the things I used to do, because it was stupid, and that's why I did it, was
That's what I love about you.
Well, thank you. I used to play songs that had long, long intros before the vocal began. And and this was one of them. And I'm playing it because a torch singer, this is an old song.
Yeah.
A woman named Jane Morgan sings this song. It's called Fascination. She just checked out at the age of 101.
Wow.
And so with an intro that was this long, I'd have plenty of time to talk about the weather forecast, maybe give a few sports scores from the night before, talk about my kids, what they were doing at school, and so on, until finally the vocal came up like this.
It was fascination, I know.
And there you go. There it is, finally.
So you like the long intro songs just so you could yap away about
just so
stuff.
I can suck all the oxygen out. Yeah.
It's the passing.
But, well, it works
so she
good.
Checked
That's
out.
A good one.
Let me run through the list of the dearly departed quickly, Lisa, because there's so
right,
many,
sir.
Because it's been so long since we've done a podcast, and I'll explain why in a minute.
Okay.
In no particular order, everybody knows it because it's been weeks now.
I know, but I forget. Tell me, because I know there's been some big names that left.
Yeah. Ozzy Osbourne. Checked out.
I know.
76.
And what a crazy guy. I always thought he was just very odd, but he had such a good heart. He loved his family.
Yeah.
He was madly in love with his wife. Did you ever watch the reality show,
The Osbournes? Yeah, I did see a bit of that.
Yeah, and it was like, you know, you just never know somebody by kind of what they present on stage.
Right.
Rock and roll! Sharon! Sharon!
Nobody wants to agree, so.
What he presented on stage was a kind of a character called the Prince of Darkness, he called himself.
Right. Right.
Co-founder of a group called Black Sabbath.
Yep. Heavy metal, not even rock and roll. It was like heavy metal.
Yeah, you're right. And then he did some solo stuff as well. And okay, maybe he bit the heads off of doves and maybe a bat or two as part of... But it was all part of the act, okay?
Ugh.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Maybe it tastes good. We don't know.
That's true. I've heard it. I've heard bats taste like chicken.
Hulk Hogan, the wrestler, cardiac arrest, World Wrestling Federation.
Comes crashing down and it hurts inside.
Yeah.
71 years old, Hulk is gone. I'd spend more time with these people, but there's so many, I got to run through it here. This is a guy I liked a lot. I just loved his music. Chuck Mangione, 84.
Oh,
Grammy winner.
Yeah.
This was a huge hit, and even if you don't know the name of the song or his name, even everybody recognizes this song. It was called "Feels So Good." Played the flugelhorn and the trumpet. Released over 30 albums. My favorite was one called "Hill Where the Lord Hides," back in 1970. Oh. A baseball player, switching to a different kind of entertainment, a Hall of Famer named Ryan Sandberg passed away too early, 65 years old, had metastatic prostate cancer.
Ryan Sandberg, the all-time leader, 480 chances, airless for Sandberg.
Ryan had a local, somewhat local Pacific Northwest connection. He's from Spokane and just a great player. Played his entire career with the Cubs in Chicago, second baseman, as I mentioned, Hall of Famer. And his younger sister, was the executive secretary at the station I worked at, TV station, King TV in Seattle. And you could not walk by her desk that she didn't have to tell you the latest thing that her brother had done on the baseball diamond. Great player. She's a wonderful woman, too. I'm very sorry for her right now.
Sorry now.
86 years old, Connie Francis.
Sorry now.
Man, that woman had a lot of hits. Let me run through them. Who's Sorry Now? Lipstick on Your Collar.
Stick on Your Collar. Told a tale on you.
Everybody's Somebody's Fool. Where the Boys Are.
Where the Boys Are.
You know, going back to Lipstick on Your Collar, I remember hearing that when I was a kid. These songs were in the 60s and maybe early 70s. I didn't get it. I would ask my mom, what does that mean, lipstick on your collar? Why would there be that? What does that mean?
You're such a dork.
I was a dork.
Well, you were little. How would you know? What would you know of lipstick on collars?
Good point. I still don't know what it means. But
yeah. Do you recall how she explained it to you? Or did she say?
Ask your father. Yeah.
Ask your father.
Guy named George Cummins, 77. He was with a group, a singer, guitarist, songwriter, a group called Golden Earring. Remember them? Mm-hmm. A Dutch rock band. They had some hits, but this one everybody remembers, 1973, Radar Love.
I've been driving all night, my hands wet on the wheel. There's a voice in my head that drives my heel.
Okay, I'm lying right now, Pat. I do not know who the hell the Golden Earrings are. I just automatically, when you said you know who they are, and I went, uh-huh, I'm lying. I have no idea who they are.
Well, first of all, it's Golden Earring, singular, not plural. So
for a group, it should be the Golden Earrings.
Oh, that's... I know. I agree totally. I think it's insane that they did that. Anyway, he's checked out.
Red, I love.
Here's another singer, Dame Cleo Lane.
Love him long, or let him be.
Don't know him.
These people are living old. She was 97.
Oh, she. Okay, see, I didn't even know it was a her.
Yeah, Cleo Lane. British actress, Grammy-winning jazz pop singer. She was kind of a scat singer. And when I say scat, I don't mean...
Through my studies... What I have learned about bear scat is that it normally contains vegetation. It can often be sweet smelling.
This was one of her most familiar songs.
Crazy rhythm, here's the doorway. I go my way, you go your way.
Then, man, there's a lot of folks. Lonnie Anderson, WKRP, oh. The actress.
Every cloud has a silver lining.
That's right. Yeah. How old was she?
79. Had a nasty divorce back in the day from Burt Reynolds.
Oh, I know. It was scandalous.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
Baby, if you've ever wondered.
Who's mad? For the first time in my life, can you believe this? I may actually be in love.
I know this guy named Bob Flick. He was one of the original members of the Brothers Four, that folk singing group out of Seattle. Well, he and Lonnie Anderson met a million years ago. I think back in the 60s even. And then in 2008, they reconnected again after all those years. And Bob Flick and Lonnie Anderson married. And were married up to her passing a couple weeks ago at 79 years old.
Try to remember the kind of September.
So you knew that guy? Did you ever meet her?
No, never met her.
Okay.
Bob would work at a lot of auctions and stuff, so that's how I got to know him.
Yeah.
I'm not done yet.
Okay, keep going.
Your hand is like a torch each time you touch me.
85-year-old Jeannie Seeley. She was a country singer, first woman ever to host a segment on the Grand Ole Opry.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Yeah, she did a lot of kind of semi-controversial songs, kind of saying, basically saying, women, let's don't take any more crap from these men. So her hits were titled
That's an old song and a new song. That song is never going to go out of style.
Don't touch me.
Don't touch me if you don't love me, sweetheart.
Don't touch me, 1966.
Wow.
All right, I'll sign the papers, 1971.
All right, I'll sign the papers, even though you know I love you so.
Welcome Home to Nothing, 1968. Then, in a switch, Take Me to Bed,
1978. Take me to bed, and I'll be good.
Pretty tawdry stuff for those days.
No kidding.
Yeah, Jeannie Seeley. And then James Lovell, who was the commander of Apollo 13.
Space flight is so interesting. The rewards far overshadow the risks. That was my feeling.
That was the one that exploded in space, remember?
All right, Houston, we've had a problem.
We shut down everything we could when we had the explosion. They said, we got a lot of guys working on it down here. We'll help you out.
Stand by, 13, we're looking at it.
And that's when they started getting that teamwork together. That was the whole idea of NASA. New ideas. What can we do differently? Perseverance was predominant in the program at the time. Let's keep on trying.
All the guys, they survived. It's a harrowing story. Mm-hmm. Tom Hanks played the part of Lovell in the movie Apollo 13.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is Houston. Say again, please.
Houston, we have a problem.
It's a good film, too. I mean, I haven't seen it in forever, but it's done very well. It really brings you right into the drama.
Sure does.
And the horror.
Houston, we have a problem. Yeah.
Yeah.
He was 97 years old, James Lovell. And I think that's the entire list, except I've saved my favorite for last because I just loved and admired this guy. His name was Tom Lehrer, 97 years old. Do you remember him, Lisa?
No, I know the name, but I don't know who he is.
You'd say he was an entertainer, but it was kind of by accident or by almost incidentally an entertainer. He was Harvard trained. He was a mathematician. He taught at the University of California, at MIT, and his alma mater, Harvard. But he also wrote these rather bizarre, usually bizarre, maybe dark songs, which I just loved. I'll just run through a few of them here. Here's one called I Hold Your Hand in Mine.
I hold your hand in mine, dear. I press it to my lips. I take a healthy bite from your dainty fingertips. My joy would be complete, dear, if you were only here. But still I keep your hand as a precious souvenir.
And this one. Poisoning Pigeons in the Park.
All the world seems in tune on a spring afternoon when we're poisoning pigeons in the park. Every Sunday you'll see my sweetheart and me as we poison the pigeons in the park.
When you're old and gray.
Since I still appreciate you, let's find love while we may. Because I know I'll hate you when you are old and gray.
And the Irish ballad.
About a maid I'll sing a song, sing rickety-tickety-tin. About a maid I'll sing a song who didn't have her family long. Not only did she do them wrong, she did every one of them in, she did every one of them in.
Tom Lehrer, in addition, he'd just go out, he played the piano, and he did these little jaunty songs, which were usually upbeat, but were really dark and kind of creepy, and I liked that.
Yeah.
He contributed to a show, a satirical show, that was on in the late 60s, I think, called That Was the Week That Was. And one of his most controversial songs, which my mom forbade me to play, because we were a very Catholic family.
Yeah.
This one, but it was very relatable. It's called The Vatican Rag.
First you get down on your knees, fiddle with your rosaries, bow your head with great respect, and genuflect, genuflect, genuflect. Make, do whatever steps you want if you have cleared them with the pontiff. Everybody say his own, Kyrie eleison, doing the Vatican Rag. Get in line in that processional, step into that small confessional. They're the guy who's got religion. I'll tell you if your sin's original. If it is, try playing it safer. Drink the wine and chew the wafer. 2, 4, 6, 8. Time to transubstantiate. Ave Maria, gee, it's good to see ya. Getting ecstatic and sort of dramatic and doing the Vatican Rag.
Tom Lehrer. He is finally departed from this mortal coil, but he had a good run. He was 97 years old. And there you go. Man, I think we're done with the podcast now. Sheesh.
Whoosh. Whoosh. Yeah.
I really do apologize that it has been so long. You know, and if anybody's listening to the podcast, thank you for hanging in there. It'd be easy for you to say, okay, that's enough. I'm tired of waiting around for this stupid thing.
I don't think anybody's waiting. I really don't.
Oh, thank you.
I don't think anybody's waiting.
That makes me happy.
I haven't heard of anybody going, we're waiting.
Yeah.
No,
yeah,
nobody's done that. They're just glad when a new episode pops up on their thing. And that's, you know, that's where you go. That's
well,
go.
Thanks for that. But
yeah,
it's all my fault.
It is.
I got myself into a bit of, and I think I mentioned this, one of our podcasts several ago. Is that I'd gone to the doctor and they did an x-ray and because my hip was hurting me. And he said, you know what you have, sir? You have degenerative arthritis in your left hip. And I thought, oh, that's nice. Degenerative.
That sounds fancy.
Yeah, degenerative sounds kind of cool, but it's not cool. It means it's kind of messed up and it's falling apart and it's not a very viable hip anymore. And this has been going on for about a year. So finally, I had to go in last week and get a hip replacement surgery, which is the thing to do, apparently, these days. I can't tell you how many people I run into that said, oh, yeah, I've had it. I had both hips done. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Really?
No. Yeah.
or my friend had it done, or my dad, or my uncle, or my sister, or my baby brother. It's very, very common.
What is it about the hip that is why is it not built to last? What the hell's going on there?
Well, I think we're all living too much too long. Back in the olden days when I was a kid, or let's say the 1800s, in the days of the Old West, I think you would be an old man if you lived to be 50, 60 years of age.
40.
Yeah,
50.
Yeah, yeah. You didn't live long enough for these things to happen.
Ah.
But now we live longer, and so people are like cars, you know, the parts start wearing out. And
right.
You don't run very well anymore. But happily, like cars, you can sometimes find replacement parts for them. Brand new
where
parts.
Where'd they go to get your replacement? Do they order it on Amazon, or where do you go to get it? Do they have have it fabricated to match your existing makeup in terms of, you know, how do they do that? What's inside of you right now?
What's inside of me right now is your hip is a ball and a socket, and that the ball sort of moves around inside this socket.
Yeah.
So that was what propels your leg forward and back and makes us mobile.
Did they replace the ball or the socket or both?
They did both. Well, they didn't replace the socket, but they had to scoop it out and they put some screws in.
Oh, God, I'm going to vomit.
Oh, I know. Oh. And then as for the ball, they saw the ball off.
Oh, God. Oh, Jesus. What the hell? I didn't know that's what you went through.
It's real surgery.
Holy
it's real
cow.
Yeah, they stick a scalpel in you or whatever they use, and they cut about a 4 or 5 inch incision into you, and they open you up. They instead of cutting through, they used to cut through your muscle, apparently. Now they do it in a way that they pull your muscle apart. It's sort of like I don't know what you compare it to. Let's say it's like a pair of big rubber strings. Bend them apart like that so they can get down into that ball.
Well, that's good because I know that you are extremely muscular.
Yeah.
And
it
probably took them a lot to get that big giant thigh muscle out of the way so they can get to your ball.
Now, let's be clear. This is the ball in your hip. And I was surprisingly not nervous about it. And I think what happens is when this, for many people, as your hip starts hurting you more and more and more, you get to the point where bring it on. I don't care. I've got to get some remedy here.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how
it works. Scoop away, tear away.
So about a week ago from when we're doing this podcast, I go in for this procedure. And believe it or not, this is major surgery, but believe it or not, they send you home the same day.
Oh.
They used to keep you around for several days. They were worried about infection and you were stuck in the hospital.
Right.
And, I'm an elderly man now, but in my entire life, I have not spent one overnight in a hospital. Not once.
Really?
Not once.
I didn't know this.
Yeah. Everything has been, I've just been blessed. I mean, and so I thought, oh no, now I'm going to have to finally, but they said, no, you'll go home the same day. It was 8 hours
in and you're out
9 hours later, but you're home. Yeah.
Wow.
So then you go home and they give you a walker.
Wait. You've skipped a whole bunch of crap here. So
yeah, I did.
They
I
saw did. The ball off and yep. then what's in you? I still want to know what is it? Because the ball's made out of bone. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And so what are they not? They're not putting another ball in there.
They're putting
a bone ball,
an artificial ball. It's made out of super hard plastic, I believe.
No, you're filled with plastic.
Not filled with plastic.
We're all filled with plastic, so.
Yes.
It's microparticles.
It's as hard or harder than a bone, and it should
It
should last me for a while.
How do they attach that? What do they super glue it on to where they sawed it off?
You know, I wish I could explain it better. I've got booklets on it. I'm going to look at a video of exactly what the procedure was.
Oh, God.
When I can,
that makes me vulnerable.
When I can muster the stomach to do it. But there's a
whole phalanx of people there. I think they use a laser, maybe not exclusively, but largely to do this procedure now.
And then how big is your, how long is your scar or your stitches?
About 4 or 5 inches. I've got a bandage over it now, so I not see the exact length. This bandage will come off next week, I think. Okay. But it's waterproof. You can get in the shower with it. They don't want you getting in the swimming pool or that kind of stuff, but
God.
You can bathe yourself.
I don't want you. If somebody has stitches, I don't want them in the swimming pool either. Yeah. It's like if you have stitches,
it's nasty.
Get your stitches out of the pool. Thank you.
This has been a public service announcement.
I go in there, and it was pretty cool. The anesthesiologist, this took place, by the way, down here in Bend, Oregon, where I live now. And we come in, the anesthesiologist is giving me this stuff, and they give you a spinal. Have you ever had one of those?
No.
I think they give them largely.
Does that hurt?
No, it didn't, because I was so out of it. But they largely give them to women who are giving birth in many cases or in some other circumstances. And basically they run anesthesia up your spine so you don't feel anything up and down.
I don't believe you. But keep going.
So the anesthesiologist is jabbering with me, and we're getting ready. He gives me a IV thing, and he asked me, so what's your background? What did you do? And I said, well, I was in broadcasting, and I do a podcast, and I could feel myself starting to slip away as he's given me this thing they call twilight. It makes you just feel very comfortable, and you're not entirely out yet, but you're getting there. And he says, hey, you know, my sister grew up, or his mother-in-law or so. She grew up in Seattle, and she always talks about this kid show host up there named, he was a clown. I go, oh, J.P. Patches. Yeah, what about him? And I go, well, I'm out. I don't remember anything after that. And but my wife was there for part of it, and she said that I said this. I'm so embarrassed.
What did you
say? Well, there was a nurse that came in at the beginning, and they have to shave part of you down there. And I was very embarrassed about that. But she was very cool, and she was very nice about it, and said, you can do it yourself if you want. And I said, no, it's okay. But she let me be very modest about it and all that kind of stuff. And she was very cute. I think by any objective measure, she was cute. So I said, and then another nurse comes in, and she's also very cute, and the anesthesiologist man was very handsome, and so in my delirium, I said to everybody in the operating room, boy, they sure got attractive people working here at this hospital. To which one of the people said, what do you mean by that? And then I apparently went out, and now I'll be too ashamed to ever go back there again.
I know.
I think it's like a truth serum that part of it is what they give you.
You're so shallow, Pat.
I'm ashamed of that.
So
I can't believe that. Of all the things I could have said, that's what I said.
Would you rather have had an ugly nurse shave you down in your private area?
No, by no means. I think it should be a requirement, because you're already nervous enough.
I know. But what I'm saying is, if it's an ugly nurse, maybe you're like, okay, well, I don't really care what she sees down there, because I don't really care. If she's a pretty nurse, you're going to be your anxiety levels are going to go through.
No, it wasn't even that, Lisa, because I'm old, and the nurse was young, and she's like younger than my daughter. I mean, it wasn't that. It was just that it was just an observation. I thought, it's unusual. And then she's writing stuff down that she's asking me, you know, what are you allergic to and all the things that they already know. They've already got written down.
Right.
There's so much redundancy. You know this, going to the doctor. They make you do it all over again, which you've already told them last week. And and so she's writing it down. I said, huh, that's interesting. What? You're left-handed. You know, my daughter's left-handed. There's a lot of left-handed. 17% of people are left-handed. And yet, do you know this? Obama was left-handed. George W. Bush was left-handed. Clinton was left-handed. That's kind of weird, isn't it? You think 17%? How come so many are become president? I'm an idiot. It turns you into a complete idiot.
You're so dumb.
I know. It exposes you for the shallowness that truly resides within you.
Oh my God!
But anyway, so I went through that whole thing. I got a new hip now, and I'm trying to work with it. They tell you should use a walker for 2 weeks. I am already walking around as much as I can without the walker, and trying not to limp. And it's going to be weeks. They say it's a full year before you're fully recovered, but.
Oh,
yeah,
really?
But I mean, within a month or 6 weeks, you won't even, I don't think you'll be able to detect a limp or that I had it, but.
Well, you're a runner, and
I'd love to get back to that, too. That's my goal.
Yeah.
Not that I was ever very fleet. They could time me with a calendar, but just the idea that I've been immobile for some time, I just hate mm-hmm. that. So I'm lucky that I'll probably get a chance to do that again. So that's my story. That's why we were so late with this podcast.
You told me off air that you actually went for a walk yesterday for 2 miles, which is pretty good.
2 miles.
But I wanted to know if it took you 2 days to do it because 2 miles is, you know,
I didn't mean to do it, and I paid for it a little bit later, but
yeah.
And that's why they give you these things that you should use a walker for 2 weeks. You shouldn't put any weight on it for any. You should take this medication. They give me a list of medications, Lisa, by the way.
Yeah. Is it good? Is that good? Are they good medications?
Let me read off some of the medications I'm on right now. This isn't all of them, but this is some of them. I'm on naproxen, ibuprofen, acetaminophen, codeine, Subutex,
hydromorphone. Codeine.
Methadone, morphine, hydrocodone, oxycodone, tramadol, tapin, Celebrex, Voltaren, Advil, Toradol, Feldene, Dapro, Relafen, Indocin, Uridis, Percocet, Tylenol, Aleve, Ketamine, Lyrica, Motrin IB, and baby aspirin. But let me tell you something, Lisa. I am not taking the baby aspirin. That's going too far.
That's all, folks.
I'm going to wean myself off of that.
Oh my gosh! Do you take them all at once, like in one handful?
Yeah, it's quicker that way. Yeah,
throw them all back at once.
Of course, I'm making that up. But the one I am taking, because I'm phobic about medications. The one I am taking is oxycodone.
Yeah.
Oh, that scares me. But I'm taking it.
Oh, don't let it scare you. I got a bottle sitting in my cabin. I was cleaning out my cabinet the other day, and I had some pretty bad dental surgery, which I always seem my teeth just hate me.
Me too.
And I was like, oh, look at this oxycodone, and then I didn't finish. And if you're not addicted, you're going to be fine. And then, of course, the next thing I'm thinking is, I wonder what the street value of this is. I'm kidding. Yeah. Of course. I'm kidding.
Well, I've had dental surgery too, and they've always prescribed Oxy, but I've never taken it before.
Yeah.
But I did this time, and this song keeps coming to mind when I take it. Yeah.
'Cause I got a peaceful, easy feeling.
It just makes you so you feel so content and so there's no cares in the world. This guy just.
But don't worry. Before long, you're going to get back to feeling curmudgeonly and bitter, and you know.
Well, I'm hoping so.
So don't worry. You're not going to get hooked on that stuff.
You're
going to get back to normal in no time.
I am sitting outdoors right now doing this podcast. We're on my deck. It's a summer day, and we lately have been letting our cat outside. It's been an indoor cat, but she's always wanted to go out. But when she starts to wander too far, I have to call her back, and I'm going to have to do that right now because I can see her several yards out. So hang on a second. Her name is Boo. Boo!
Okay.
Come on back here. Come on. And she'll come running back. Come on, Boo.
Now, that's surprises me, because scats usually are like, they usually flip you off and go, oh, I'm going to do my own thing.
I know. Yeah,
dude.
She's great. She's very obedient.
She's like a dog.
Yeah. Come on, Boo. Come on back. She's back. Okay.
Good. Yeah.
Okay.
You don't want a deer eating her.
No, that's for sure.
Deers will eat cats, I've heard.
You know, the deer around here are surprisingly aggressive. People are reporting that they will attack their dogs when they're walking their dogs around.
What?
Yeah. It's strange. We haven't had any problems, but we hear it anecdotally all the time. I think it's moms protecting their fawns. But so don't assume just because it's a deer that it's green lights and blue skies. They're
right, with cute little deer eyes. That deer will eat your face off.
Okay, moving on here. And sorry for the indulgence.
I'm glad you're better, by the way. I've missed you. I really have missed you.
Same here, but more of it.
I've missed you. And I also didn't get a chance to publicly thank you for my really delightful birthday presents, since I had a birthday since we last chatted. And you're very sweet and very funny. I just, I loved all of it. So thank you.
I got to give a plug to this guy. And hopefully you'll remember his name. Yeah. I'm having a little memory issue right now because of these drugs, I think. But the guy's all over the internet right now. He's a comedian. He does a number of different characters. But one of them is this unctuous, sort of semi-creepy guy that is trying to come on. You don't know if he's trying to hit up a man or a woman. His character is really good.
His name, if I can interject
please
here,
do.
You emailed this to me, is Chris Munch.
Chris Munch,
Chris Munch, and there's some pretty funny YouTube videos that he has. He's just very cringy.
Yeah,
he plays this just very creepy kind of guy that you can't like shake off. Who's trying to engage you in a way that he thinks is ultra charming, and it's the
last guy you'd ever want to go with. And here's just a bit of him.
Peekaboo. Hello, ladies. It's Steven Stevens. And looks like you caught me dreaming about a perfect date. If this were a date, I'd be handing you these beautiful flowers, and then you'd be climbing on the back of my motorcycle as I drove us to a romantic dinner, Applebee's.
But then you can't fully appreciate that either, because you have to see him. He does this smarmy smile, and
he's licking his lips.
He refers to his mother. You know, mother will pack a lunch for us, sort of. It's to me a perfectly realized comedic character. And then I find
very
out
funny.
That, hey, he'll do custom greetings for people, for whatever, $100 or something like that. So I said, this will be great, Lisa, because I know Lisa probably has run into guys something like this in her dating life.
And so
I just gave him a few little details about you, and he did a great job, and I couldn't be happier, and I hope you liked it too.
It's very funny. I appreciate that. Maybe we can stick a little bit of what he did at the end of the podcast. Maybe.
But anyway,
thank you.
Happy post birthday. Yours was towards the end of July, and I hope it was a great one. But you know, when I was thinking about this, you think when you're having a surgery. For me, this was my first serious surgery where I was going to go under. You start thinking about mortality more than you normally would. And so I started thinking what my last words might be. And I wouldn't want my last words to have been, boy, you know, they sure have some attractive people here in the hospital.
I can think of worse words. Those aren't too bad, but I can see what you want, something that's profound.
Yeah, or ideally. So I looked it up. I said, what are some last words of famous people? And I ran through a list here. Sinatra said, I'm losing. Nostradamus said, tomorrow at sunrise, I shall no longer be here. I wish I could be that thoughtful at the last moment. Marie Antoinette said, pardonnez-moi, monsieur, which means forgive me, mister. Charles Gusman, he was a TV writer and an announcer, he said, and now for a final word from our sponsor. Brilliant. There was a murderer named James Rogers, and they said he was in front of a firing squad. And they said, "Do you have any last requests, Mr. Rogers?" And he said, "Yeah. Would you bring me a bulletproof vest?" Churchill supposedly said, "I'm bored with it all." And then Elvis said, "I'm going to the bathroom to read."
Return to sender. Return to sender.
Well, and then sometimes, though, you don't have the luxury of knowing when the end's going to
come. Well, that's right. You could
get
hit by a car. And then your last words would be,
"Oh, crap."
Yeah. Right. Fuck! Yeah. Hey, can I give you a little story about my wife, who's been spectacular, by the way. I owe her so big time for her kindnesses to me through this whole thing. Because it frustrates me. Yeah. I can't even get up. Hey, can you hand me the TV remote? Can you do things that you just do by yourself normally? But it's a major effort just to get up.
I had some surgery. I live by myself, as you know, and have been by myself for a very long time, off and on, but mostly on. And I had surgery years and years and years ago when you guys were living here. And she and her friend came over and took care of me post-op just to see me through the night. And I was like, can you just move in with me on a full-time basis? Because this is awesome. Yeah. And you're right. She is such a nurturing, and she knows her stuff. She's not squeamish. I had things squirting out of me that you didn't even want to know about.
Well, she is a registered nurse, and so she's
not
better,
squeamish
better
about
prepared
any of that.
For that stuff than most people.
Yeah,
but she's just a little thing. She's just been amazing. However, I don't want to portray her as a saint either, because this is something she does all the time. When we go to a grocery store, a supermarket, and we'll go into the produce section, and you think I'd be smart. You hear that machine getting louder?
No, you keep saying that. I don't hear anything.
Oh, good. Well, I must have a very directional microphone. Somebody's decided to run a blower or something over there. So we go into the produce section. There's my dog.
Uh-oh, I heard that. I heard your cat
barking.
Anybody
that walks by a trail with another dog, our dog has to challenge. Mister,
yes.
Hey, mister, no. Or attack, one or the other.
Right.
So she will go into the produce section, and she'll say, "Hey, Pat," my back will be to her, and she'll say, "Hey, Pat, think quick. Now, do you know what dragon fruit is?"
Yeah.
It's this fruit that is like if a porcupine was a fruit, that's what dragon fruit is.
That's
and she'll say, "Hi there, guy's going by." And she'll throw it at me. "Hey, Pat, think quick." And she'll toss a dragon fruit at me. And I have to either let it go and splatter onto the floor of the supermarket, which I'll have to pay for, or I got to catch it. She does it all the time. "Hey, Pat, think quick."
Hilarious.
So I said, that's why I think, man, I'm never going into like a Gillette razor blade store with her or a nitroglycerin store. "Hey, Pat, think quick."
You know, she could also do that with artichokes, because artichokes
have those. Don't give her ideas, please.
No, I'm going to send her a list.
No, please don't.
She doesn't have to just stick to dragon fruit.
You just reminded me, though, of something. The anesthesiologist, I was telling him in my hazy memory about our podcast, because I pathetically, I'm trying to promote our podcast to total strangers who don't, you know, couldn't care less.
Very
and,
smart, though. Good
and
job.
And
good effort,
said, "Hey,
Pat.
What genre is your podcast?" And I was stuck. I said, and so that's a good question. What genre is our podcast? What would you say?
Well, we are very much about real life murder mysteries. I would say that's kind of where we land in genres, and also you know, very very we're very deep into historical facts, and
it's a fact based podcast.
Yeah. And psychology and neurosis, all that stuff. We've got a lot of genres going on for us. It's hard to pick one.
I wish I'd talked to you earlier about this. I would have had
a
better answer for him. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. What the hell's a genre? It's just, we're just yapping away.
Genres would be like politics, basket weaving. It's specifically about something. And ours is really not very specific. It's just babbling.
If I have to play within a boundary, I'm not going to be happy. I like coloring outside of the lines. You never know what you're going to get when you tune into Peculiar Podcast. That's the beauty of the show.
Yeah. It gives us plenty of latitude to either be stupid or really stupid.
Exactly. So take your pick.
Yeah, I've decided, Lisa.
Which one do you want?
Now, as you said, you're a single person. So do you ever go to Costco?
Oh, Pat, I can't believe you asked me that. I just bought, or what's the word? Got my Costco membership like 2 months ago.
Oh, really?
And yes. And I'm like, oh, gosh. I've been before, but it's been years. And I normally kind of don't really need to go. But there's some specific things that I want to get every time I go. And I also want to support their policies on hiring and where they sort of land on employment and all that. I just want to support that, which I know that their memberships have gone up in huge numbers this year because of their inclusion and equity and all those
things. I think that's
all
good.
Diversity.
Yeah.
I think that's all good. But yes. So why are you asking me this? Because I'm like, I got to go to Costco. And then I walk out with crap I didn't even have on my list.
Well, that's the thing. Everything, who needs what single person needs a jar of pickles that size? A bag of donuts that's got 17 dozen in there.
Bag of donuts. Well, I'm not buying that stuff. Like I bought a big bag of chicken and it's rotisserie chicken and it's all pulled off the bone. It's a big bag of chicken and I freeze and then I take portions and I freeze it and then I can just pull it out and throw it in a salad or. Yeah.
No, I think it's a good, it's good. A lot of the stuff's good. Don't fool yourself into thinking that everything's a bargain in there because much of it is not. Some of it is, but not all of it.
Yep.
I have come to the conclusion, at least for me, and we go there infrequently now. We used to go more often. That Costco, for me now, has become a unique form of torture. And I don't like going there anymore. When it's busy, when it's crowded, people are crashing into each other. They're not paying attention. They don't look where they're going. They're stopping in the middle of the aisle.
Kids are running amok.
Yeah, kids are running amok. People got to have... Stop at those little sample stations. I've never once sampled anything in there, by the way. But I know people that go there, they wind up with pretty much a full meal by the time they leave. And they haven't paid anything.
Yes, it's very true. You're absolutely right. It is a bit of a nightmare. I try to time it where I'll go on a Tuesday mid-morning where it's... But it's still a nightmare because people are just... Dur, 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 and it's like... Dirt, 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 get the hell out of my way. I have chicken to get. I got to get my chicken.
I mean, I suppose we're part of that crowd too, but we don't realize we're just as bad. But
no, you're right.
But good God, it drives me nuts. Now I have to really steel myself like you're preparing yourself for a hip operation. I got to get really pumped up for it to go to Costco.
You should just take an oxytocin before you go to Costco and that'll solve the
problem. This is one that drove me crazy the other day. I'm looking for a parking spot, especially since my hip was bothering me before I had the operation. So I didn't want to have to walk a long way. So I finally find here's a woman putting stuff in her car. She's just closed the back hatch of her car and
Perfect.
She's going and she gets in behind the driver's seat.
Perfect. She's on her way out. Let's go
behind
sister.
The wheel. And so I'm sitting there and I'm like, okay, boy, this is going to be a good spot right here. And I'm waiting. And I'm waiting. And I'm waiting. And then I'm starting to lose it just in my car by myself. God damn it. Come on. What are you doing? Are you on your phone? Now this is the time you're choosing to check your messages or send them. And I'm really going berserk in my car. I'm embarrassed. But I just got, it started getting really hot. And finally I just said, okay, that's it. I'm done. And as soon as I drive past her, she pulls out.
Oh, no.
And somebody else takes my spot. another reason I just hate going to Costco. It could be any other store for that matter, but it just seems to happen more.
I want to point out the parking thing. Now, your strategy, and I get it because of your hip, your strategy is to park as close to the door as possible, yes?
Well, that would be the ideal. On the other hand, on the flip side, I hate people that think they can't walk another foot, so they're going to sit and they're going to wait like I did for a half an hour just to save themselves 2 feet. That also drives me crazy.
Okay, but I have come up with a much better, this is really what you want to aim for. You don't want to park as close to the door as possible. The ideal parking spot is the one that's closest to the cart rack.
Oh, I
because
I,
there's nothing
good thinking.
Nothing worse than unloading your cart and then you got to walk 5 miles to the cart rack.
Or the people that leave their cart right there in the parking spot. Because they won't, they don't want to walk it over to the cart rack.
I haven't experienced
that. This is why I don't own a gun, Lisa. This is why. You know what? I prattled on so long. I've got such a list of things to talk about, but I guess we're going to have to wait.
We're going to have to wrap it up, mister.
We're going to have to wrap it up.
Do you have a joke of the day? Did you prep?
Yeah, I did a little bit, but it's not that great. One more thing I want to plug. Two more things I want to plug quickly before we leave.
Okay, make it fast.
There is a tremendous... I think it might be the best documentary I've seen in years on Billy Joel.
I have one.
If you're not a Billy Joel fan, maybe you won't like it. But if you're just a so Billy Joel fan, you're going to walk away thinking this guy's a genius. He really is. He's an American treasure. It's really long. It's two parts. I don't have time to tell you all about it. But it is warts and all about him. His ups, his downs, his bright sides, his downsides, his various wives, they all contribute to the documentary. He's somehow stayed friends with all of them. But man, is it a good documentary. So satisfying. And the music he's churned out, you forget how much wonderful stuff he's done. Watch it if you can. Billy Joel. It's called Billy Joel and So It Goes.
Okay, can I tell you quickly one that I think is really fantastic?
Yeah.
And it came out actually a couple of years ago, and I didn't realize it, but it's the documentary on Netflix called Sunday Best. And this is the untold story of Ed Sullivan,
Oh, yeah, I'm going to watch that.
Oh, gosh, it's so good. And it's all about him, how he broke barriers by – he was one of the first to book black artists on his show on his – he had a Sunday Night Variety show. And it is the music and the artists that you see on there. It is a fantastic documentary.
Somebody else recommended that to me too. That does it. I'm
really
good. That's a good one.
Sunday Best, the untold story.
And if you don't know who Ed Sullivan is, why are you listening to this old fart podcast anyway?
Yeah, but even if you don't, it talks a lot about racial barriers and how this man, it's just watch it anyway. It doesn't matter. You'll appreciate that time, that era. You'll appreciate the civil rights. You'll appreciate all
Stevie
of that.
Stevie Wonder.
Ed Sullivan felt it was important to stand up for what was right, even if it wasn't the popular decision. And he actually put his career on the line to stand up for those principles.
What the world needs now, I think, is the camaraderie of show business.
I agree.
And I also recommend, book-wise, Lorne, the Lorne Michaels story, the man who invented Saturday Night Live. It's another warts and all thing. Lorne, by an author named Susan Morris. Well, you know, it's time for our joke of the week.
Nice.
One day at a busy airport, the passengers on a commercial airliner are seated. They're waiting for the cockpit crew to show up so they can get underway. Well, the pilot and the co-pilot finally appear in the rear of the plane and they begin walking up to the cockpit through the center aisle. Both of them appear to be blind. The pilot is using a white cane. He's bumping into passengers right and left as he stumbles up the aisle. And the co-pilot is using a guide dog. Both of them have their eyes covered with huge sunglasses. And at first, the passengers, they don't react. They think, oh, this is just some kind of a joke, right? However, after a few minutes, the engines start revving and the airplane starts moving down the runway. Well, the passengers start looking at one another with a bit of uneasiness. They whisper among themselves. They're getting kind of desperate. They look at the flight attendants for some reassurance. And then the airplane starts accelerating rapidly and the people are starting to panic. Some of the passengers are praying, and the plane gets closer and closer to the end of the runway. The voices are becoming more and more hysterical, and finally the airplane has maybe less than 20 feet of runway left. There's a sudden change in the pitch of the shouts. Everybody starts screaming, ah, ah, and at the very last moment, the airplane lifts off and is airborne. And up in the cockpit, the co-pilot breathes a sigh of relief and he turns to the pilot and says, you know, one of these days, these passengers aren't going to scream and we're going to get killed.
Oh, jeez. That was good. That was very good.
One day when she had nothing to do, rickety-tickety-tin. One day when she had nothing to do, she cut her baby brother in two and served him up as an Irish stew. And invited the neighbors in, boys in, invited the neighbors in. My tragic tale I won't prolong, rickety-tickety-tin. My tragic tale I won't prolong, and if you do not enjoy my song, you've yourselves to blame if it's too long. You should never have let me begin. You should never have let me begin.
Thanks for listening to Peculiar Podcast.
Hey, goodbyes.
Join Pat and Lisa online at peculiarpodcast.com.
It's the gift that keeps on giving the whole year.
And on the Peculiar Podcast Facebook fan page.
Sweet.
On Twitter at Peculiar Podcast, at Mr. Pat Cashman, and at Foster Chick.
Join us and live in peace, or pursue your present course and face obliteration.